Did it just get hot in here? She's a hot mess. A hot, hot mess podcast. Hello, degenerates, and welcome back to yet another episode of a hot, hot mess podcast. My name is Haley, and as always, I am a hot fucking mess. So I want to start off by addressing the elephant in the room. If you do not follow me on my Instagram or on my personal Facebook page, then you would not know that my laptop decided to take a shit on me. I was right in the middle of editing the episode that I was going to publish on Tuesday, and it did an update, which deleted everything. So my intro, my outro for the podcast, pictures, anything and everything was completely wiped. I couldn't even get into my account for Podbean. So it has been a crazy fucking week. Everything is fixed now. Hopefully it won't shit out on me again. But with my luck, you honestly never know. The other thing that I want to talk about is we as a tribe are growing. I am so excited. When I first started this podcast, I genuinely didn't think that it was going to be very big. It was just mainly for me to get out all the crazy shit inside of my head and a way for my family to kind of keep tabs on me since we don't live in the same state, have them make sure I'm still alive. But we are growing at a very steady rate. I have people listening now in California, New York, Idaho, Arizona. I have people listening in Virginia, people in Ohio, Texas, Illinois. There's also 11 people from an unknown within the US. So hello and welcome. We also have people in Canada, Germany, India, the UK. I mean, this is just amazing. So hello and welcome to all of my new hot messes. Welcome to the tribe. Hold on for dear life because it is going to be a wild fucking ride. The last thing that I want to talk about, very, very, very exciting news. We are now on more platforms. So we are on Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Pandora, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. So I was just approved to have this podcast on all of those platforms. So we are growing and I am so excited. I am working on getting onto Apple Podcasts. However, their criteria is kind of crazy. They really don't like that I use cuss words in my descriptions. They also don't like that I have explicit content, which is not really something that I'm willing to change personally. So I'm going to keep working with them, see what we can do. Fingers crossed that I get onto Apple Podcasts, but if not, Spotify, all those other platforms I talked about, it's amazing. So I'm very excited to see where this podcast is going to go. For this week's episode, I kind of want to circle back to episode 2 and get more in depth about the female orgasm and how important it is to know your body, know what gets you going, to communicate with a partner, to masturbate. I mean, there's so many topics that I want to talk about regarding the female orgasm. The reason I chose to do this topic this week is because some crazy person out there decided to cuff me up. If you have been listening since the beginning or at least a couple episodes ago, you know that I was talking to somebody, we call him Tim. Things were going really well. That was in the dating myself episode that I talked about him. Well, his crazy ass decided to make it official and become my boyfriend. So weird to say, but yes, I now have a committed partner. And with that comes the sex talk, communicating about your needs and your wants, things that get you going, and making sure that we're both satisfied with our sex life. So I kind of want to talk about that and how our conversation went, how you should be approaching that conversation if you're with a partner, and how important masturbation is for everyone. So starting off with masturbation, I told you guys that I have been touching myself for a really long time. I started off a little earlier than what most people did, and that was mainly because I've been around the sex industry pretty much my entire life. So my mother was a stripper. She also worked at Hooters. All of her friends were strippers. Sex was just something that was openly talked about in my house. There were definitely some things that I learned very, very young that really skewed the way that I view sex in a not so healthy way. So as I've gotten older and diddled myself a lot more, I've learned a lot about myself. The reason that masturbation is so important is, one, you get to know what turns you on, what turns you off, what positions feel really good, what positions don't work for you. You can learn how to stimulate yourself to reach an orgasm. Like we've discussed before, 65% of women do not come through penetration alone, meaning they come in different ways, whether it's clitoral stimulation, whatever it is. And masturbating helps you realize if you're one of those 65% of women. Also, it gives you more confidence when you're in the bedroom, when you can really know yourself, know your body, be comfortable with your body, own your sexuality. Going into the bedroom with somebody else is a lot less intimidating when you have a good sense of who you are sexually. I also kind of want to talk about toys. Now, for a really, 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 really long time, I didn't use any toys, whether by myself or with a partner. The first time I was ever introduced to a toy in the bedroom, I was 18. I was dating someone who was quite a bit older than me, and he really liked to use a dildo. And I remember walking into our sex shop back in Arizona. It's called Fascination. So him and I walked into Fascinations. There is an entire wall of dildos. I mean, different colors, shapes, sizes, all of that. And I was so intimidated and I had no idea. And he looks at me, he tells me, pick one. Well, I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. It's just a giant wall of silicone penises. I've never used a toy in my life. So we finally narrow it down. I pick one and we get back to his place. We're playing around with it. And that's when I realized that I'm not a huge fan of dildos. They don't really work for me because I'm one of the women who doesn't come through penetration. It doesn't work. And it actually hurt a lot. So I told him that. And I didn't use one for a really, really long time until I got into sex work and kind of had to use it. But that was the first experience that I had bringing a toy into the bedroom. When I was about 21 or 22, that's when I got my first vibrator. It was just a really small pocket vibrator. It was nothing crazy. I think I got it for like 20, 30 bucks. And I would just use it for solo play. It was fine. It wasn't the best shape. I think it was mainly meant to be used with a partner. It didn't really contour to my body that well. My arms are really short, so it didn't really reach the places that I needed it to reach. It just wasn't the best. I hardly ever used it. So for majority of my life, I had been using my hands, which is totally fine if that's where you're at, if that's what feels best for you. But it does take me a minute to reach climax, so my hands would hurt. My hands would cramp up. So then finally, I invested in an adult vibrator. This was just a few months ago, and it has been wonderful. It has taught me so much about myself and my body and what really turns me on. Even the different positions that I would masturbate in have changed. And this is why I think it's so important for us to make masturbation a topic that we can all talk about. It needs to not be so taboo, because the more we talk about it and the more that we normalize talking about masturbation and sex and all of that, we start to realize how similar a lot of us can be. Growing up, when I would hear certain things like, oh, it takes me 2 seconds to finish and my boyfriend makes me come 20 times during sex and I'm over here struggling sometimes just to get myself off, it made me feel bad. It made me feel like there was something wrong with me, with my body, with my partners, and it didn't give me a whole lot of confidence. But now as I've gotten more confident in my sex life and my sexuality and really owning that sexual energy that I have, I talk about it with my friends like it's nothing. Like I'm telling them I went on a beautiful hike or I grabbed a glass of water. I mean, it's really that common for me to talk about sex and masturbation. And me and my best friend, we talk about it quite a bit. Now, her and I are very different. I won't go into like her sexual experiences or anything like that. But when her and I have talked about masturbation, we have realized how different we are, but also how similar we can be. And it helped me to realize that I'm not broken and there's nothing wrong with the way that I masturbate. There's nothing wrong with the way that I have sex. And if we continue to do that and normalize sexual talk and make things not so awkward or taboo, then it'll help all of us realize that there is nothing wrong with our body. There is not a single thing wrong with the way you touch yourself or the way you like to be touched. There is 100% nothing wrong with your body. I personally, and I'm actually the only person that I've met or talked to about this, when I touch myself, I have to be on my stomach. So whether it's completely flat on the bed with my hand or a toy under me, or it's what I like to call goddess pose, face down, ass up with my hand or my toy, that's how I get off. And I've watched a lot of porn. I think the porn industry can make things so unrealistic. And I know I watched porn at a young age. And so that's really all I had to go off of, was watching these girls, you know, solo masturbation and watch them have screaming orgasms over and over and over just by penetration alone. And I tried masturbating the way that you see them do it, you know, laying down on the bed and they're touching themselves and their legs are up and they just seem like they're having a really great time. I tried doing that and it doesn't work for me. And so I stopped watching porn and I stopped taking my guidance from professional sex actors. That's exactly what they are. They're there to make things look aesthetically pleasing. And I stopped watching all of that and really just started experimenting with myself and realized that, hey, I need to have a little bit more pressure and I can get that by laying on my stomach to touch myself, or that goddess pose is the pose that makes me feel the sexiest. I have a great ass. Why not throw it up in the air? So whatever position you feel best in to touch yourself, maybe it's laying on your side, maybe it is on your back with your knees bent, or a pillow under your lower back. Or if you're like me and you have to do it on your stomach, remember that, because those are going to be the positions that are going to feel best with a partner. So I got off on a little tangent. Going back to me buying my first vibrator, my first adult vibrator, I bought that, and like I said, I've been experimenting a lot. I personally think that everyone should have a vibrator. I don't care if you are a female or a vagina owning person, a male or a penis owning person, everyone should have a vibrator. Men or penis owning people can get off with a vibrator. And if you don't believe me, go to your local sex shop. Guys, listen up. Go to your local sex shop. You don't have to get anything crazy, but go pick you up a vibrator and just start playing around with it. See what feels good. Even if you just do a little backdoor stimulation, that is always an option. If it doesn't work for you, hey, then now you have a vibrator that you can use with another partner after you clean it, of course. So what I'm trying to say is everyone should have some kind of toy, some type of vibrator, whatever feels best for you, whether it's a dildo or a vibrator, or something else. Maybe it's more of like a stimulation toy, like those little spiked rollers or nipple clamps or feathers, whatever it is. Go out, get you some toys that make you feel good, and just start experimenting. The more you experiment with yourself, the better understanding, more of a grasp you have on what turns you on, makes you more confident, makes you more comfortable when you go into the bedroom with a partner. If you are just starting out when it comes to toys, I know how intimidating it can be. I've been in that position, going into that sex shop, looking at a wall of dicks. Always ask the people working at the store. I have never had a bad experience with a sex shop worker. I actually just had an amazing experience with a girl at a shop called Lovers. It's my local sex shop. Funny enough, her name is Haley. I brought up a couple things to her that I want to try with Tim, my new partner, and she was absolutely phenomenal. She is such a sweetheart. We ended up talking about our partners. She helped me with some toys. She really just blew me out of the water. So if you are feeling uncomfortable or intimidated, I know that it can be a little awkward asking a stranger, but that's what they're there for. So always ask them. I've never had a bad experience at any sex shop that I've gone to, and asking questions, even if you feel like it's TMI, that's what they're there for, and they enjoy their job. So go in, grab the nearest worker, coworker and start asking them every question that you have. But everyone should have some type of toy to help get them off. Now, if you get a toy and it's really not for you, there's nothing wrong with using your hands. If you know that that gets the job done, that you enjoy the orgasm that you have with your hands alone, that is totally fine. Because once again, there's nothing wrong with your body. But trying different things and experimenting never hurt anyone. The second part of that I want to talk about is sex with a partner. It is so important once you've masturbated, once you know what you like and what you don't like, and you have a really strong sense of yourself and your body and your sexual energy, it is so important to communicate that with your partner when you guys take the step to have sex. Now, I did wait a little bit to have sex with Tim, and before that, we had talked about our turn-ons, our turn-offs. We didn't really go too in-depth about positions and toys and things like that, because for me, I think it's more fun to experiment together, learn a couple things together. But if you want to have that conversation before you have sex with someone, I say go for it. But it is so important to have a conversation with your partner. Let's say for Tim and I, we had had sex a couple times and my needs really weren't being met. Now, that is not me shitting on Tim, because he is wonderful. The sex was still good. It just wasn't making me feel fulfilled. That has nothing to do with your partner. If you are feeling like this within a relationship, or even just someone that you are consistently having sex with, it is not their job to read your mind. That is impossible. It is your job to communicate your needs, tell them what you like, tell them what is lacking, and work on that together. Try new things, and if you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to do it again. On the flip side, if they come to you and they tell you that their needs aren't being met, and this goes for anything, this is not just sexually, but obviously this is a sex episode, so we're gonna try to stay on topic this week. But if your partner comes to you and says, hey, babe, my needs are not being met, it has nothing to do with you. You cannot read their mind. You don't know their body 100%. And our bodies constantly evolve and change. So with that, our sexual needs will too. You can be with someone for 10, 20, 30 years, and the sex you had in the beginning is not going to be the same sex that you have then. So don't take it personal when your partner comes to you and says that their needs aren't being met, or that they want to try something different, or that something just really isn't working anymore. They're coming to you because they love you, because they see longevity with you, and because they want you to please them. If they didn't care about you, then they would use that, their needs not being met, as a reason to break up with you and go find somebody else, but they're not doing that. So don't take it personal. Just hear them, try to understand them, ask as many questions as you need to, and then get your ass in the bedroom and have some fun. So with the conversation that I had with Tim, I let him know, hey, my needs aren't being met. I would like to do this, and that. This is the issue that I'm having. I've told you guys before that there's really no secrets. I don't really sugarcoat anything. Sometimes I get into the TMI zone, and we're about to approach that now. So when Tim and I first started having sex, I wasn't coming during sex, which to me is something that's really important. I don't want to come before sex because then I'm tired. I've already finished. The job is done. And I don't want to come after we have sex because then it's not in the moment. That moment has already passed. He's exhausted. He's tired. And I remember the experience, the time that we had sex that made me feel like I needed to bring this up to him was we had just finished and he started to spelunk the old cave, as we like to say. And he was trying so hard to get me off, but I wasn't in the moment. I wasn't really in the mood. And for a lot of women, our sexual arousal starts with a mental connection. For a lot of us, we really like the teasing and the anticipation and the buildup. So now for me, that buildup was gone and it was going to be 10 times harder to make me reach an orgasm. On top of that, it already takes me quite a long time. The average man reaches an orgasm in about 5 to 6 minutes. The average woman is around 18 to 20 minutes. And for me, because most men watch porn and they see the way women get off in porn, they always have me on my back with my knees bent, and that doesn't work for me. But I do sometimes still get shy or timid talking about how I masturbate or what gets me off, what positions work well for me. So sometimes I don't say anything and I just really try to focus on having that orgasm, which is not fulfilling when I'm putting all this pressure on myself to climax and then I do, it's like, oh, thank God that's over. That's not fun. So Tim and I had just gotten done having sex and he was trying so hard to make me have an orgasm and he was using his hands and you could tell they were cramping and he was starting to get frustrated. I could sense that. I could sense that frustration. I was frustrated within myself and it kind of just went to shit from there. And because I don't believe in faking an orgasm, I did eventually finish. But it really was not that fulfilling. And because I have issues revolving around sex, I have some toxic thoughts when it comes to sex or myself during sex. I still sometimes have these thoughts that I'm broken. So after he made me finish, and it just really wasn't a very enjoyable experience, and I should have stopped. I should have stopped him and told him how I was feeling, but I didn't. I didn't want to make him feel bad. And we were still really new in our relationship. So I continued and I finished. The moment I got done, the moment I reached that climax, I felt awful. And we are the worst people to ourselves. My therapist likes to call it that bitchy roommate inside your head, the bitch who lives rent-free. She likes to talk shit and she doesn't pay any bills. So that bitchy roommate in my head came out and started telling myself all these horrible things like, oh, your body is broken and there's something wrong with you and he's frustrated and now you're frustrated. And I went to bed that night feeling really shitty. So the next morning when I woke up, I still felt a little awkward. I still felt a little down. And when I got home from Tim's house, I sat myself down and really just went over that night play by play by play in my head. I really dissected everything. I realized where I went wrong because, like I said, I should have stopped him and talked to him, but I didn't. So I really focused on where I went wrong and what could have been done better and how I wanted to communicate that to him. So the next time we saw each other, which was a couple days later, I told him that, hey, my needs aren't being met. This is the night that made me realize that this is what I mean by my needs aren't being met and what needs exactly aren't being met. And this is what I think we could do different in the future. I had also spoken to my friend about this, my best friend, about that night and about what I was going through. And she really helped to put things into perspective for me. So when I did go over to Tim's house, I felt fully confident and ready to communicate that. I can't lie. I was really scared. I was really nervous to have that conversation because I have a tendency to pick partners who are narcissists or manipulative. So I was really worried that his reaction was going to be the same as past partners, where they make me feel bad for bringing things up like that. Their response has always been, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm an awful partner, and I'm sorry that I can't please you in the bedroom. And then at the end of the conversation, I'm the one who apologizes for even saying anything, which is absolutely insane and unacceptable. But when I brought this up to Tim, his reaction was very proactive, very like, okay, what can we do? These are some ideas that I have, and thank you for bringing this up to me. Now, we've already discussed the reason I brought this up to Tim is because I see longevity and I don't want to continue in a relationship where my needs aren't being met. And he took that and ran with it. He was super understanding. He was very sweet and supportive. There are still a lot of things that he needs to know about me sexually and emotionally. We're not super far into our relationship. So of course there are still some things that we need to learn about each other, but just him reacting like that made me feel so comfortable in our relationship. And that is what you should be looking for in a partner. But once again, I get off on tangents. Going back on to the topic at hand, being able to communicate your needs to your partner is very, very important. And also allowing your partner to do the same to you is just as important. I think what a lot of people don't realize is there are many, many, many different ways for women to have an orgasm. Men have 1 to 2 different types of orgasms. Women have 13 different types of orgasms. Yes, you heard me correctly. We can have up to 13 different types of orgasms. This is why masturbation is vital. I cannot stress this enough. If you are one of those people who does not masturbate for whatever reason, which I completely respect and understand your choice if that is not something that you do, but it's going to make it harder for when you do enter into the sex world. It's hard to figure out what you do and don't like and are comfortable in the process of learning what you do and don't like when you don't really have a lot of alone time to touch yourself and explore your body. So this is why masturbation is very important. And I don't just mean touching your vagina or rubbing your clit. I mean having a healthy, intimate relationship with yourself. So I want to talk about a couple of the different orgasms that women can have, give a little bit of information on that, and just start making it a topic of conversation, something that we all talk about. So the first one, and I think the most common orgasm that women can have, is the clitoral orgasm. 70% of women need clitoral stimulation during sex to reach an orgasm. That's why it makes this the number one method and the most common. The second type of orgasm is the nipple orgasm. Nipples and breasts are a major erogenous zone. It is a super sensitive area with a lot of nerve endings, very similar to the clit. Now, not every woman will be able to reach an orgasm through nipple play. For me personally, although my nipples are very sensitive, and I'm sure if I worked hard enough at it, I could do it, but it's not something that I've ever really experienced. And that is totally fine because you can just use it in foreplay. Now, if you really are not a fan of having your breasts or your nipples touch, that is definitely something to communicate to your partner, and there's nothing wrong with that either. The third type of orgasm is vaginal or a G-spot orgasm. It happens when your G-spot is activated through penetration. If you want to try this by yourself, use your fingers or a toy. If you're like me and you have tiny hands, then you'll definitely want a toy, but you use an upward motion towards your stomach to find your G-spot. If you're using your finger, the texture of your G-spot will feel like the shell of a walnut, how it's kind of rigid. It will feel just like that. So you'll know if you're using your finger when you feel that, that is your G-spot. You'll obviously also be able to feel it in your vagina because it's a completely different sensation. So you go in and upwards towards your stomach and you find that G-spot. You continuously stimulate that and you can reach an orgasm. Once again, for me personally, this is not an orgasm that I've ever really had. And it is a lot harder for me to reach orgasm from my G-spot. And yes, trust me, I have tried many, many, many times. Now, that's not to say that it is impossible, because it is 100% possible. Some women, including myself, just need to work a little harder at that. The fourth type of orgasm is a mental orgasm. Now, this, for lack of a better term, blew my mind. I did not think that this was something that we could do. If you think about it, it makes sense. Men are more of a visual type of creature. They see something that they like, they see something that turns them on, and boom, they're hard. For women, it's more of a mind game, which makes sense because the biggest sexual organ of all is the brain. So if you stimulate a woman's brain, it gets the rest of her body going. So studies have found that although the numbers are really small, women can think their way to an orgasm, which I think this would be something really fun to work on and to try to do. Orgasm number 5 is the urethra orgasm. Now, your urethra is the little tube where your urine comes out. For those of you who don't know, it is just under your clit. If you hold up a mirror while you're on the toilet and you kind of lift everything up, you'll see that you have a tiny little hole, and that is your urethra. This is also called the U-spot. When that is stimulated, blood rushes to the opening and a fluid comes out. This is also known as squirting. The liquid that comes out is just a secretion of a gland. And I don't know if I'm saying this right, but Skene's, S-K-E-N-E-S, Skene's gland. It is a secretion of a certain gland as well as trace amounts of urine. So a urethral orgasm is also known as squirting. Orgasm number 6, the skin orgasm. So this is a type of orgasm in in the way your skin reacts to intense sensations. So along with trembling, sweating, becoming flushed, a skin orgasm is one of sexual arousal. Music especially has been discovered to be the source of skin orgasms. I personally have never had a skin orgasm, although it seems very interesting. I'm not too sure exactly what goes into that, but you can have an orgasm, I guess, via your skin. The next orgasm is the kissing orgasm. Your lips are 100 times more sensitive than your fingertips, and it is one of the largest erogenous zones for women. So it makes sense that 20% of women have experienced orgasms from kissing alone. It just takes a lot of focus and attention to every sensation that you're feeling. Orgasm number 8, the cervical orgasm. This is when you stimulate your cervix and it affects the genital sensory cortex in the brain, resulting to an orgasm. The thing with cervical orgasms, though, is you have to have very deep penetration, which for a lot of women, myself included, can be really painful. So if you do try to have a cervical orgasm and you start feeling pain, it's definitely time to stop, step back a little bit, and take a little bit of a break for that. Orgasm number 9, the sleep orgasm, also known as wet dreams. It is absolutely possible to have an orgasm while you sleep. I have had many of these, I think especially being younger. It has a lot to do with being deeply relaxed and letting your imagination go wild. Also, if you are having sexual dreams, your body will respond to that and you can reach orgasm through your sleep alone. Orgasm number 10, the anal orgasm. I think this kind of speaks for itself. It is an orgasm that can be reached through anal stimulation. It can be a wide range of practices such as penetration, licking, fingering, touching, rubbing, etc. Now, of course, anal is in a whole other realm of its own. I may do another episode on anal sex later on down the road, but you can have an orgasm via anal. Orgasm number 11, they are known as corgasms. It is an orgasm while working out. It is something that women experience during ab exercises. Now, when I was doing research for this episode, I did not know that this was a thing, but it is something that I have experienced. For me personally, it definitely was not as intense as a clitoral orgasm, but I have felt certain sensations downstairs when I've done ab exercises or really intense squatting, things like that. 5% of women experience orgasms during exercise. According to Alfred Kinsey, I think I'm saying that name right, in 1953, a paper he wrote for Sexual Behavior in the Human Female, 5% of women have experienced orgasms during exercise. In 2013, Fitness Magazine reported that percentage to be at 10%, probably because more women exercise now than what they did in 1953. So if you start getting butterflies or certain sensations in your downstairs area while you're exercising, just know that that is actually pretty normal. Orgasm number 12, it is called a blended orgasm, and it is exactly what it sounds like. Orgasms from different parts of your body happening at once. The most common blended orgasm can be attributed to both G-spot and clitoral stimulation happening at once. And this can go for anything like anal and G-spot stimulation or any of these orgasms that we have talked about all combined. And it's pretty much all encompassing. And last but not least is the multiple orgasms. It is not the same as blended orgasms. Multiple orgasms are orgasms that happen one right after another with no prolonged stopping in between. They're basically the thing that every woman wants to experience, and if she can have them blended, even better. Me personally, when I have a partner that really knows my body, and when I'm masturbating, I do have multiple orgasms. So I will go back to back to back to back to back. But in order to to do that with a partner, it takes a lot of communication. It takes a lot of trust. It takes a lot of everything, a lot of work, but it is absolutely possible. So those are the 13 types of orgasms that a woman can have. If you experience any of these type of orgasms, this is a really great thing to communicate with your partner. Having a healthy and fulfilling sex life is so important. It helps you and your partner to remain connected. It keeps intimacy alive. It keeps romance alive in your relationship. Sex is a huge part of a relationship, and being able to communicate your turn-ons, your turn-offs, what gets you to reach climax, and also creating a safe space for your partner to communicate the same thing is huge. It's also going to help with the longevity of your relationship. For me, I feel like when my sex life goes down the drain, the rest of my relationship goes down the drain with it. So also trying new things, maybe watching each other get off or introducing new toys. Something that I just recently started incorporating was having a toy in the bedroom, a vibrator that I could stimulate myself or my partner could stimulate me, things like that. I feel like people don't focus on the clit when they're having sex. We're very much a society that views sex as penetration, and once that penetration is done, then the sex is over. Sex can mean a lot of different things, and the definition changes from person to person and partnership to partnership. So trying new things, playing around together, bringing new toys into the bedroom, and if you're into it, more people into the bedroom, totally your choice. But that's going to help you keep your romance alive. That's going to help you keep your intimacy alive and just have a happier, healthier relationship in general. Sex is a beautiful thing. We should always be talking about it. Once again, we are not faking our orgasms. We are going to own our sexual energy, own our turn-ons and turn-offs. We should not be ashamed of our bodies. They are perfect and wonderful just the way they are. There are different ways to reach orgasms. Guys, if your partner is not coming while you're having sex, it has nothing to do with you. It is not because your partner is not attracted to you. It is not because your partner doesn't like you. It is just harder for women to reach an orgasm because we have all these different options and our bodies are so sensitive. And because we are mental creatures, if there is anything going on in our head, then it's going to be harder for us to reach orgasm. Also, foreplay is huge. If you want a girl to orgasm and you want her to orgasm quickly or even have multiple orgasms, the best way to do that is foreplay. And I don't think that this is talked about as frequently as it should be. Ask your partner how you can turn them on. Ask them what they like and what they don't like. So I hope I shed a little bit of light on the subject. I hope you guys learned some things. I hope you guys go forth and touch yourselves, touch your partners, talk about it with everyone. Okay, maybe not everyone, but the people that you're comfortable with. If you have any topics that you would like me to cover on this podcast or any stories you would like me to read, please feel free to email me at hazelgaze321@gmail.com. The spelling is down in the description. And as always, I will see you next Tuesday. Bye, bitches.